from around the globe. In sold-out arenas and humble churches. From out on the streets. To your screen. And now, the time and what must be done. On this edition of Farrakhan Speaks.
So what must be done? There was an ass tied.
Talk about that ass. Talk about that.
And a young colt was tied with the ass. And Jesus, when he met Peter and the disciples, he said, look, I know you're a fisherman, Peter, but I don't need you fishing in that sea. Follow me, and I'm going to make you a fisher of men. Because our people are in the sea of sin, and somebody has to go after them. But they like the water. That they in. So you gotta bait your hook with something the fish like. But fishing with a hook is slow. So Jesus said, cast your net on the right side. Reverend, we gotta come with the right stuff. These black men are not here tonight to be played with. They are here tonight because they want a change in their life and they want a change in their community. All praise is due to Allah. So, brothers, in 1985, I would like to take a million black men to Washington, D.C. Tell our sisters, our wives, our mothers, our grandmothers, sweetheart, this time, please stay at home. Mother, you have always stood for us, and we've never stood up for our families. But we're coming of age now, Mom. And we want to go to Washington and state our case. Our fathers, sweat, blood, and tears built this country. Our fathers and our mothers worked from can't see morning to can't see night with no pay to build the economy of the South, to fuel the economy and the industrial revolution of the North. Mother, wife, sister, auntie, baby, we fought in all America's wars for a freedom that we have never achieved. We fought in the Revolutionary War that made America independent of England. But we don't have any independence ourselves. We are dependent on white people to do for us what we have earned the right to do for ourselves. We fought in the Spanish-American War. We fought in the War of 1812. We fought in the Civil War on the side of the North and the South. We died right alongside of those fighting to maintain slavery. And those who said they were trying to maintain the Union, but in any case, after the Union was maintained, it was back to business as usual. We had congressmen and senators, and we had government representation. But the Knight Riders and the KKK took it all away from us. Said, we don't want no niggers in the Congress. We don't want no niggers in high political office. So they killed us. They hung us. They burned us. And when they got in trouble, they called us again to fight in a Jim Crow army. Some of the older ones here that were in World War I, you know you fought Germany. But the German prisoners of war were treated better than the black soldiers who fought for America against Germany. Talk to me. Hitler rose again. World War II. Black men died at Pearl Harbor. Black men died in Guadalcanal, in the Solomon Islands, in the Philippines, at Iwo Jima. Black men died in North Africa fighting the Germans. Black men died at Anzio Beach, at Palermo, at Naples, to free Rome, to free Paris, to free Europe. Damn it!
Yes.
We died to build America. And America has rebuilt Germany and Japan. And the nigger is still suffering and dying in the streets of America. We tried to build black organizations to fight for our cause. We, along with whites, made the NAACP, the Urban League, CORE, SNCC. What was the response of our government under J. Edgar Hoover and the counterintelligence program of the United States government? They treated us like we were aliens, sending spies and agent provocateurs in among all our black organizations to discredit our black leaders and cause us to fight and kill one another. The government did this using the dollars of our taxes. Martin King stood up to get us out of a segregated state. And men had to die. Women had to die just so others could drink at a fountain or go to toilet in a public place. People had to die for that simple, basic right.
Yeah.
Think about the sacrifice that our fathers have made to build America. Think about what government has done to show their contempt for us. I think it's time now that black men stand. I think it's time now that black men put the gun down for the destruction of yourself and your brother. It's time now for us to say to the government of the United States, here we are, here we stand. The black men, the children of slaves that built your country, that fought and died in all your wars. Now look, we don't intend to live in poor housing. We don't intend to live like dogs. You owe us a debt. Germany is paying reparations to the Jews for the Holocaust that the Germans put on the Jews. All Germans didn't do this, but all Germans are being taxed to pay for what was done to the Jews. In 1941, when Japan struck at Pearl Harbor, Japanese Americans were rounded up and sent to concentration camps. And the government admits she was wrong. She was wrong. So they're going to pay reparations to the Japanese. Look at our condition, brothers. Don't we need a repair job? Don't we need somebody to repair our broken heads, our broken hearts, and our broken pocketbooks? Brothers, here's what we have to do. I know our time is late, and I don't want to keep you too long, but I want to say to you that you who feel that you are despised and rejected, that you are the bottom rail, that you are the last, that you and I are a foolish people, God said, I will choose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. I will choose the things that are not to bring to naught the things which are. I will choose the despised and the rejected, and the bottom rail will go to the top, and the last shall be the first. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our sight. Whether you know it or not, black man, God has chosen you. Not because of your blackness, but he's chosen you because you have suffered in the furnace of affliction. And now, as Reverend Jackson said, the more you burn gold, you never burn it, you only purify it by removing its dross. You are pure gold, black man, chosen by God now to do a mighty work. There is an ass tied. All right. Somebody's not using the donkey, but God said, go loose him. And if anybody asks you what you're doing, tell them the master has come. He has need of that donkey. Brothers, don't leave. Don't leave. You're gonna miss something if you leave. You're gonna miss this. Whether you want to know it or not, brothers, you are more important than you think you are. This Quran, which is the book of scripture of the Muslims, I would like to read a verse from it. It says, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, O people, keep your duty to your Lord. Let's stop right there. Every man among us knows you owe a duty to God. And you know how I know that you know? Because every one of you and every one of us, when we get in trouble, and each one of us in this room has been in some trouble that's so deep, you call on who? God. Now, when you called on him, brothers, what did you say? What did you say? You said, listen to your words now, God. And when you called him, you were real sincere because the trouble was deep. And listen to what you said. You said, God, if you just get me out of this one time, didn't you say it? How many have said it? Raise your hands. Come on. All right. Now look at what you said you was going to do. You said, God, if you get me out of this one time, I'll serve you for the rest, come on, of my life. You know you said it. And you know you lied. Brothers, when you said it, the Holy Quran says, and when I brought them safely to shore, lo, they set up other gods beside me. Surely man is ungrateful. You forgot. Now, brothers, the Quran says, keep your duty to your Lord, who created you from a single being and created its mate of the same essence. Stop, stop. What does single mean?
One.
Is God one? He created you from himself. Oh, you gotta hear this. He created you and me from himself, and he created our mate of the same essence, meaning your woman is from God and you are from God, which means what? That the nature of God is your nature. So every one of you that are from God, and that's all, you are of divine. Your nature is divine. You are the people of God. Let's go a little further. You're black. Are you black because you're cursed? No, you're black because you are the first creature that he created, and you took your color from the darkness out of which you emerged. Listen good now. You're not black because you cursed. You're black because you are the original human being from whom all other human beings came. You are the first from God. Can you prove it, Farrakhan? Sure. Y'all all right? When they want to find the origin of man, they don't go to Europe. Where they go? What you say? I didn't hear you. They went to Africa. They found the bones of a man they call Zinjanthropus. Zinj means black, anthropus means man. He was 750,000 years old, and he had a daddy. And they went back and they dug and they found some more scars, and they're still unearthing skulls that never show the origin. But as far back as you go, they find you. Wait now. We have Caucasians in this audience. We have Hispanic brothers, sisters, and brothers in the audience. We have men of many different hues and colors. The Bible says, from one blood, God created all men from one blood. Blood is the life fluid of some living organism. So from one blood, meaning from the genetic strain of one life, God made all. Look at what the Quran says. He created you from a single being and created your essence from the your mate from the same essence, and from these two he spread many men and women. It started from one, now it's many. And how did you start? You started from sperm mixed with ovum, and when the sperm connected with the ovum, it produced the first cell of life. And from that one cell, now you are billions and billions and billions of cells in this one body. But you started from one. Can you dig it?
Yes, sir.
Excuse my slang. Now, the Quran tells us the color of the first man. First man is called Adam. In the Quran it says, Allah created him from black mud and fashioned him into shape. Stop. Since my body is from the earth, if he created the first man from black mud, step up, anthropologist, step up, historian, step up, biologist, step up, geneticist, talk to me. If the first man were white, the yellow man couldn't even get here.
Yeah.
Because two white people cannot produce anything other than what they are. Talk to me. So, I'm not teaching black supremacy. I'm just teaching actual facts. White people, listen to me good now. You can't produce us. It's a mathematical, genetic impossibility. So if you were the first, we couldn't have got here. So, The black man has in himself the whole range of color, because black is not a color. It is the essence from which all color comes. Come on. Now, brothers, if God created you from himself, that means every one of you is a God and has God's divine nature in you. As David the psalmist says, ye are all God's children of the Most High God. Now let's get the Bible and Quran to back this up. In the Bible, the apostle says, how can you love God whom you have never seen and hate your brother whom you see every day? Let's stop a minute. Let's look deeper. What do you mean? How can you love God whom you've never seen and then hate your brother? Wait. Then there's something in your brother that is of God. So when you hurt your brother, you're hurting your father. I'm a father, brothers. I got 9 children, 23 grandchildren, 1 great-grandchild. And if I ever see my children fighting, it gives me such pain. If you are God, not big God, but a little God, made, as the Bible says, in the image and the likeness of God. Then Elijah Muhammad said, every time I see a black man, I'm looking at God. So when I look at you, I don't have to wait to see the Father. I see the Father in you. So when I see you, I got a duty by you, brother. When I meet you, you say, oh, Farrakhan, I'm real happy to meet you, man. And I always say, it's my honor, brother, to meet you. And you look at me and say, what is this? How he honored to meet me? Because when I meet you, I'm meeting a person that has never been on the earth before, and there will never be one quite like you ever, ever again. So, when I see you, I have to treat you like I would honor God. I have to respect each human being. I have to respect you, brother. Even though you don't know who you are, I know. And because I know, my duty is to honor and respect you. Even these little children, they are little babies. But the power of God is in them, and they're going to grow up one day, hopefully, to be mighty men. So you start respecting them when they're in the cradle. You start respecting them when you see the woman forming that child in the womb. You don't wait till it gets here. And that's why no man who's a real man will beat a woman. No man who is a real man will beat a woman. No man who's a real man will disrespect a woman, because it's through woman that we live. Go ahead. If you live to be the age of Methuselah, which is 969 years, you still gonna die. So how do you continue? You continue through a woman. So when she tells you, I love you, when she says, I love you, if she means it from the depth of her heart, she's saying, I want to give life to you. I want to extend your life by my love. So you and she enter into a contractual arrangement that is from divine. And after 9 months, she suffers the pain of death to give birth to you all over again. And so as a man who has a child, if you love God and love yourself, when you see yourself growing again, you got a chance to make that life better than you were made. So when that life comes, it's like a potter's clay. You can shape it, you can mold it, you can make it something. So Jesus said, Reverend Jackson, when the disciples said, Master, when were you hungry and we fed you not? When were you naked and we clothed you not? When were you out of doors and we gave you not shelter? When were you sick and imprisoned and we ministered not unto you? He said, inasmuch as you have not done this unto the least of these, my brethren,
go ahead,
you have not done it also unto me. So the least little brother in here is the brother of Christ. Stop right there. Stop, man. We gotta get through this part. Don't leave me. Who is Christ? Christ is man in his perfectly developed state. Therefore, Christ, fully developed, is man in whom God dwells. Christ is the express likeness, image of God. Why is Christ so important? Because he allows men to see the realm of possibility. We can be more than the prophets. Don't go around saying, I'm the child of God, and never grow up to be like your father. Jesus was the only man in the Bible or scripture that had such a unique relationship to God, till he referred to God not as Elohim or Yahweh or Allah. He referred to him as his father.
Think about it. Listen.
And then when the disciples wanted to learn how to pray, they said, Master, could you teach us how to pray? He said, yeah, pray on this wise. Say, not my Father, our Father. Now, if the Father made Jesus so special, what's wrong with you? You mean you're not special? You mean the Father didn't make nothing out of you? You nothing. Your elder brother Jesus is something. You nothing. Muhammad is something, you nothing. Moses is something, you nothing. False. Every one of you are as they are if you submit to the source that they submitted to. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. See, when you submit to God, brother, He actually comes into you. He travels into you through the Word. And the Word contacts the essence of your nature, which is the same as His nature, and turns on the divine essence of you. And you start growing spiritually just like you grew physically. And therefore, brothers, when you got a gun in your pocket and you go on and shoot a black man, that's like shooting a bit of God. When you watch the life ooze out of your brother, every time you squeeze the trigger, life is oozing out of you, because love can't find a place in you for your brother if you're constantly raping, robbing, destroying your brother. This is your family. We are not just family from the same mother, but we are family from the same God. So you are truly my brother, and I am truly yours. So I make a pact. I will give my life for you, because my life is not more important than yours. You are greater, I am lesser. So I must become your servant. And you must see your people like that. When your brother is down, that's you. Help pick him up. Don't let different colors make you different people. Don't say, well, he got on red, man. He ain't one of the bloods. He got on blue, man.
Yeah.
He ain't one of the brothers. He didn't get a right sign. He ain't one of the brothers.
Yes, sir.
When you look in his face and you see the mark of the beast, that's your brother who has been destroyed like you, and you must never, ever again hurt your brother. When you and your brother have an argument, develop the intelligence to reason with each other and not reach in your pocket. This is why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us, throw away all guns. When we became Muslims, we put all the guns away. Threw them away. Because Elijah Muhammad knew that when we got in an argument, we would reach for our gun rather than reach for our ability to reason. He forbade us to raise our hand to each other. I remember in the FOI, the fruit men's class, I saw a brother and I, you know, and the captain saw me doing it. He said, brother. I said, yes, sir. He said, do you think you can whip us all? I said, no, sir. He said, well, the next time you raise your hand to your brother, you'll have to whip us all. And from that day, I never raised my hand to my brother. Never. Not just my brother as a Muslim, This is my brother Christian.
Yes, sir.
I won't ever raise my hand to him. He is safe from my tongue, from my hands. His wife is safe because I know that his wife is sacred to him. She's sacred to me. Therefore, instead of violating his house, I will protect his house. His daughter is sacred to me. And when we become like that, love comes in. When I won't do you wrong, you won't do me wrong, you fall in love with me. I fall in love with you. Then love is greater than the law, because love is the highest expression of law. When I say I love you, man, you could drop your wallet with money all in it. That's not a brother. I say, hey, brother, 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 you dropped your wallet here. You say, man, I ain't gonna do that. If that fool dropped that wallet and I see it, I got it. But we are taught that if your brother has a bowl of soup and you have none, half your bowl belongs to your brother. So if I got money, you don't have to steal. If you got need and I got, here, brother, but I don't want you to lay on me.
Right.
But I'll help you out as my brother. Now, I would like to conclude this talk, but I don't want anybody to get up, because we're going to say prayer together. But I want to just show you, in conclusion, the meaning of the story of the donkey and the colt, and show you how this amount of men together, I show you what we could do right here in Houston.
Right.
And you'll never be broke and powerless if you have unity. There's an ass tied, untied. White folks got us tied up to them, but they're not using us. Therefore, by the law of non-use, they have forfeited their right to hold us. Listen, Jesus is not a thief. He didn't tell his disciples, go and untie him and bring him to me. When you got a tie on you, that means you belong to somebody else. But the master had come, and he paid a price to redeem them. So he said, no, they're not using you. I've suffered for you. Go untie them. I got need. Bring ass to me. I'm not speaking vulgar. No. Then Jesus rides into Jerusalem on the ass or the donkey. People saying, Hosanna. Do you know in the history there has never been, to my knowledge, a leader who calls black men out to a special meeting to talk to black men? Go check the history. Brothers, brothers. If this happens in 15 or 20 cities across the country, what do you think they're thinking? See, you are the unlearned, the donkey. Farrakhan is who you came to hear. That means you are the wave or the wind beneath his wings. So when they record this meeting, they're going to say, that Farrakhan, he's getting them black men stirred up.
He's more dangerous than any nigger we've had. The moment Jesus got on the donkey and rode into Jerusalem, his time was numbered, because they in secret council said he got to die. I'm telling you tonight, they have already decided Farrakhan got to go. Wait. They made their plans. But God made his. You don't have to worry about that. I don't believe they have a gun big enough to shoot me from here across the street if it doesn't please God. If it pleases God that I die, then it pleases me to die. I don't think so. We got work to do. So here you are, all tied up. I'm one of the master's disciples. I saw you tied. I'm here tonight to loose you.
All right.
Come on, black man. We got a job to do. I don't care what work you're doing now, you got a bigger job to do for God. And since you said, Lord, if you get me out of trouble this one time, I'll serve you. Now here's the way God wants you to serve me. First of all, brothers, each of us have to decide to clean up our act. This body is the real house of God, not this. Not this building. It's a beautiful building. But this building is not the real house of God. This here is greater than this.
That's right.
Because this is the architecture of men. This is the craftsmanship of God. So you must never violate the house of God. You shouldn't eat improper foods, unclean foods, clogging up your beautiful system with unclean foods. Some of you drove good cars. I saw them parked all out there. And brothers, you're not going to put cheap gas in that finely engineered engine. You put the highest octane in it because you don't want it pinging and going on. And then you go and sit at McDonald's. And feed this magnificent house garbage. It's a great house, brother. But you got to take care of it. Houses need maintenance. You're not maintaining that body. I'm 60. I'll be 61 next month. But brothers, these are my sons. Two of them. This son can tell you his father at 60 bench press 370 pounds and still don't know the limit of my strength. Deadlift 405 pounds, just snatch it up off the ground. Squat 405 and still don't know the limit of my power. I'm a young old man. I don't have no big gut.
No.
What do you look like?
have not seen yourself.
unless you get a mirror. Your gut hanging all down over your knees. This is your lifeline. Ask the champ. Look how magnificent he looks when he takes off his clothes. You don't have to age because you've been here long.
Go ahead.
Ain't none of you in here really old. 70's not old, 80's not old, 90's not old. You just got here, man. What you getting out of here for? Hang in there, brother. But you gotta stay here long enough to learn how to live so you can pass on valuable lessons to your children and your grandchildren. You out of here. Improper foods. I have fasted from 3 days to 40 days. You gotta learn how to cleanse your bodies and your minds. I mean, I'm just quick, brother. I can wake up in the middle of the night and teach for hours, never repeating myself. You are greater than I am. You just need to get yourself in order with God. Now, I'm one man, and they find it difficult to handle me. The whole world together finds it difficult to crush one man. You know why? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Suppose we let him get into us and we become a united power in God. You don't need a gun anymore. Right. You can do it with this.
Come on.
When they told me 30,000 people were standing on the outside and they were trying to get screens, I went in my room.
Yeah.
And I said, "Oh Allah, hold back the rain.
Yeah.
Don't rain on the people." And he held it up.
Yeah.
You got juice, man.
Yeah.
You're God's people. You could run this thing crazy if you just came home to God and came into unity with one another.
Yeah.
You would have so much power, you would frighten yourself. Now I want to show you in conclusion what we could do in this room. You see, Reverend Jackson built all of this with the support of the people that believe in him. I've been in many churches. I've never been in one like this. As big as this is, hold as many people as this does. He don't owe nothing on it. He had people working with him. Now look at the 14,000 men that are here, and if we could get the 15,000 that are outside, and just check this out. Suppose each of us put $10 together tonight. 14,000 times 10 is $140,000. Put it in the treasure. Come back next week. Put it in the treasure. Come back the third week. Put it in the treasure. By the fourth week, you got over $500,000 liquid cash. You go to a bank. Say, "Look here, man. You got any properties that you're foreclosing on?" show me your portfolio. And say, well, yeah, we got this building, this apartment building here. Say, we'll take it. In this room tonight, there are carpenters, brick masons, plumbers, electricians, roofers, everything imaginable right in this room. And you got young people in here who don't know any of these trades. You take these abandoned buildings and you put the craftsman to work and you put the young man beside him as an apprentice. Before you know it, those abandoned buildings are built back up. And now somebody's living in them paying rent to you. You're the owner now.
Oh.
Then you say, okay, let's keep this up, $10. Now we got 30,000 people. That's 300,000 in 1 week. You notice how white folk giving up their farms? What you do, you go and buy you 1,000 acres. And what I need a farm for, that's the engine of life. That's where everything we got on comes from. The farm, brother. Our problem is we're allowing everybody else to feed us. We're not feeding ourselves and our children. Now, with 1,000 acres, I mean, you can't even see what 1,000 acres look like. You got to get up in a helicopter to fly over what you own. We own it collectively. Now we start farming. Everybody can't farm, but there's some good farmers in here. But we ain't gonna farm with a mule anymore.
No, sir.
We get a tractor.
Get a tractor.
Then you set up a canning factory. Then you buy you some land and build you, instead of a beautiful church like this, you build up a supermarket.
Yeah.
Now you got your canning factory and you got First Baptist Peas.
Oh,
yeah. Second Baptist Corn.
Yes, sir.
Methodist Asparagus.
Yes, yes sir, Brother Parker.
Muslim Carrots.
Yes, sir.
On your supermarket shelf. Then you tell all our wives, don't shop nowhere else. Shop in your own supermarket. Before you know it, the money we spend on food is right back in our circle growing. You got it? Our fathers picked cotton.
Yes, sir.
Now we grow it. Turn the cotton into lint. And the lint into cloth. All of us got on underwear.
Right.
And we ain't made one pair. You set up a factory, put your woman in it. Come on, baby. We're going to make underwear.
Yes, sir.
Now you got, instead of designer underwear from Calvin Klein, put your name on it.
Right.
Then everybody in Houston is wearing our own underwear.
All right.
The underwear market is yours. The shirt market is yours. The suit market is yours. The same way white folk can get alligator. I got on gators. But the gator don't belong to them. It was created by God.
Yeah.
We can get them too.
That's right.
Cow gave his hide to white folk. It'll give it to you. Tan that hide and make you some shoes. It's a shame. We're paying $140, $150 for Nike leap-arounds. And all we got to do is learn how to do it. Do it for yourself. And before you know it, you got a whole economic revolution started in the black community. And as men, we're doing this. Then your wife is looking at you saying, look at my husband, what he doing? She starts smiling at you. Then you say, well, baby, I don't like the way the schools are miseducating our children. Well, let's set up our own school. You set it up.
And everybody in here that's a teacher, come on out of a plantation system and begin giving your children real education. And before you know it, white folk looking at you saying, is these them same Negroes that used to hang out in the second ward, in the third ward, in the fifth ward, drunk and disorderly? Now they own the fifth ward. That's their turf. Then when you own it, you become interested in the politics that governs it. Then you run for office who you want to run that will look out for your interests. And after a while, you become a power in Texas. And then before you know it, from the Lone Star State, you get many other states wanting to put a star up like Texas did. And before you know it, you're working hard, and therefore you deserve pleasure. And your wife will say, I really want to help you, because at last, honey, you're doing something. Come on, brothers, let's fill the church up with men.
Yes, sir.
Let's fill the mosque up with men.
Yes, sir.
And let us never let religion and the labels divide us ever again from one another. Never again. Will you do it? Are you with us, brothers? Then may Allah bless you as I greet you in peace. Assalamu alaikum. Now, brothers, while you're standing, oh, I love you too. Before we have prayer, brother, I'm coming back, God willing, but I'd like to have a black woman's meeting when I come back. I want to ask a question. All of you who are interested in making our own communities a more decent place to live, would you raise your hands, please? How many of you, thank you, how many of you, brothers, would like to accept a training that would cause you to be self-disciplined, and then we in turn take the responsibility of disciplining our community, making it safe for our women, our children, and our elderly? How many of you would like to do that? Then I'd like to ask you, brothers, if you would take this pledge. And when you say it, if you say it, the only thing we have is our word. And once we give our word, we must strive never to break our word. Take this pledge. I say your name. Pledge. To strive. To love my brother. As I love myself. Will you do that?
Yes.
Second.
I
your name.
Robert Muhammad.
Pledge. To strive.
To improve myself.
Spiritually,
mentally,
morally,
socially,
economically,
and politically,
for the benefit of myself,
my family,
and my people. Will you?
Yes, sir.
That means that from tonight, we gotta start improving. If there's some habit that you got that you would like to get rid of,
You know how to do it? Do it. Once you make up your mind to do it, it's done. Third, I. Your name.
Robert Muhammad.
Pledge. To strive.
To strive.
To build.
To build.
Homes.
Homes.
Hospitals.
Hospitals.
To buy farmland.
To buy farmland.
To set up businesses.
To set up businesses.
To engage in international trade and commerce.
For the benefit of myself,
my family,
and my people.
And last, I, your name, pledge to give of myself,
my time,
my talent,
and whatever I can spare of my finance
to accomplish the above said. With those words, each of you have taken a sincere pledge to strive to be the brother of one another. Not only the brother of those in this room, but all of those out there that are our flesh and our blood, and then it must go to all people. But you gotta start with yourself. Now, those of you who would like to get involved in this manhood training, it will start this Saturday, April the 16th, this Saturday at 10 a.m. in the Southeast. It will be Metropolitan CME Church, 6424 Cullen Boulevard. W. Edward Lockett is the pastor. That's those of you who live in the Southeast, meet at the Metropolitan CME Church. We'll be there to let's get busy and train ourselves to become the men, the husbands, the fathers, the brothers that we should be. Those in the Fifth Ward will meet at Anderson Memorial Church of God in Christ, 3303 Orange. The Reverend Elder Prince Bryant is the pastor, and that's this coming Saturday, April 16th at 10 a.m. Also in the Fifth Ward, we're going to meet right here at Pleasant Grove Missionary Baptist Church, 2801 Conti, Reverend C.L. Jackson, all those brothers on Saturday who would like to get involved in this kind of manhood training, come on out Saturday. And in the Third Ward, we'll meet at the Shape Community Center, 3903 Alameda. Deloyd Parker is the director. And Acres Homes, Chamber of Commerce, 6130 Wheatley. Roy Mallinson is the chairman. And in the Southwest, at South Post Oak Baptist Church, 13535 South Post Oak Boulevard, the Reverend R. Elliott Wright is the pastor. For the first time, Christians and Muslims will be working together saying, let us make man. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, sir. I want to hold up.
And don't forget, next year, I would like for us to convene 1 million black men in Washington to give America the largest, most orderly, disciplined march on Washington in the history of this nation and fire a shot that will be heard all the way around the world that we have come of age and we're demanding what rightly and rightfully belongs to us as the spokespersons for our wives, our children, our moms, our women. And those of you who want tonight's tape, it is being high-speed duplicated and you can get it in the lobby
on your way out. Is there anything else, sir? Nothing else? We'll have prayer. Brothers, when the prayer is finished, would you please stop one moment and just shake each other's hands? Just get the feel of your brother. And look, brothers, the way we do it, we shake hands and we ain't funny. We ain't funny. And we embrace each other. And you gotta learn that it ain't nothing wrong with showing love to your brother. And there's nothing wrong with telling your brother, I love you, brother.
Love you, brother.
And mean it. And from this day forward, remember now, we're not going to do nothing to hurt our brother. And when you meet one of them ignorant brothers,
ignorant,
who will try to force you to hurt him, do your best not to hurt him unless he aggresses on you, then you're forced to fight with those who fight with you. But if you don't let your ego get the best of you, you can avoid 95% of most hostile action. Let us give another round of applause to our pastor who opened this magnificent building, the Reverend C.L. Jackson. Pastor, and all those who are in the gymnasium and in the other auditoriums, if you hold your place, I'm coming right over there to greet you, because I want to see you in person, though you've been looking on the screen and listening by radio. I want to see you in person. The Reverend James and I will come over to greet you if you just hold your places. Thank you.
Right here. Come on, another great big amen. No. Don't you feel a warmth of love going from body to body? Let's pray. Let's pray. Take somebody by the hand if you don't mind it. Just take someone by the hand, right across the pew, if you don't mind. This is the first time we ever got all these people together. Let's make a big night out of it. Unity, unity, and in love. Our God, we thank you. Nobody but you move on us through this man you sent this way, Louis Farrakhan. And we thank you. Not only in this building, but on the outside, in the gymnasium, in the fellowship hall, and in the other auditorium. Would you now unite our hearts in your love, in your peace, by your spirit, and we'll give your name all the praise. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thank you, brothers. May Allah bless you. Assalamu alaikum. I love you. Shake each other's hands, brothers.
Please log on again next week and every week this year for the time and what must be done. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Log on to NOI.org every Saturday, 6 p.m. Central Time for truth, guidance, and unequaled love from the national representative of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Pass on the word every Saturday at 6 p.m. Central Time at NOI.org. The time and what must be done. Remember, to have Minister Farrakhan answer your questions, tweet them to @LouisFarrakhan, #AskFarrakhan. And to add this message to your library or as a gift for someone you love, go to store.finalcall.com.